Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you for everybody who's joining us on Facebook as well. We appreciate you for being here. Please comment and let us know if you're able to watch with us. And if you're joining us in person, please check in and let your friends know that you're here with us. Tonight, we will not be having an evening worship service. Just enjoy the long holiday weekend with your family and friends. So please do not show up tonight because you'll be worshiping alone. And so just enjoy that time at home. This week, it's hard to believe it's the beginning of June, but Wednesday is June 1st. And so with summertime, this will be our second year of doing Super Summer Something. And we are very excited about it. I thought everybody had a great time last year, ate a lot of good food, played a lot of good games, heard some good devotionals, but just a good time of fellowship as each group in the church takes responsibility for a Wednesday night. But the most important thing to remember about that, other than the fact we'll be eating, is what time do we need to be here? 6 o'clock. Very good. So we change the time throughout the summer to be here at 6 instead of 6:30. And then what else do we change? Ah, I got you. We won't, for the most part, be up here. We'll be down in the Family Life Center. So, two changes, but don't forget about that. But we're very excited to start this Wednesday night. And the church board is in charge. So we've got the first Wednesday night, and so it'll be a good time of fellowship. So please don't forget about that. Also, please don't forget about Bread of Life. I know many of you all have signed up, and there's a stack of food out there. We always appreciate what you bring in for Bread of Life. But the preparation for that meal will be this upcoming Saturday at 4. So please be ready to meet. If you've not been able to bring something, or if you have been able to bring something and are willing to help put that meal together, that's this upcoming Saturday at 4 o'clock, meeting at Bread of Life. And there is a sign-up sheet for those volunteers. Please, and that's the other thing. If you sign up to bring something, please have it here by Wednesday night, especially the meat, so you all can have it cooked beforehand rather than having to try to do that on Saturday. That's a good point. Thank you. I know I was forgetting something. And then Pastor Tyler said that the youth have their forms for teen camp. And if you are a youth and you want to go to teen camp but have not gotten a form, please see Pastor Tyler. He'll be glad to get you a form. But he needs those turned in by next Sunday. So teens, please make sure that you have those back into Pastor Tyler if you want to go to teen camp here within a few weeks. We are collecting crisis care kit items again. You all were so faithful to bring those in for Ukraine last month. But we are doing that again this summer. These are going to stay on our district for disaster, local disasters. So if you are willing and have a chance, please pick up a Ziploc bag and a list out in the foyer. I know many of you have already done that, but we're going to be continuing to do that through the middle of July. There are many other items that go out in the newsletter on each Friday. Please make sure you're seeing that. If you are not, please let the church office know, and we'll try to get that corrected. But we have a lot of things going on, and I know you all will be traveling, and we all have individually a lot of things going on, but then we have a lot of things going on at church throughout the summer. But thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I almost forgot, I have a thank you card. It says, to my church family, I can't thank you all enough for your love and support. I am grateful for all the wonderful words and gifts, and I thank God for all of you. Love, Garrett Bullock. So he told us in Sunday school this morning, he said, man, they were pretty good to me. I got a lot of cards. So thank you guys for what you did for Garrett. All right, I think that's everything I've got, and I'm going to have the pastor come up.
This is Promotion Sunday. You can tell the kids are all up front, can't you? We're having Promotion Sunday, and the reason I'm up here, normally Samantha would just come and make do the promotions, but we want to let our group on Facebook know that for just a few moments, we are going to mute the sound. We don't want to, as a matter of privacy and those kinds of things, we want to try to keep our kids' names private, those kinds of things. And so if you'll hold on with us for just a few minutes on Facebook, we will be right back with the sound. How about that? So here we go. Samantha, you come. We are back live on Facebook. Pastor Tyler, come and lead us in worship, please, sir.
Stand with me as you're able, and let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for the fact that we were able to come and worship you this morning. God, we think about what's going on in the world around us, and it's easy to be distracted by tragic events in this past week and politics, whatever it may be, God, but I pray this morning that you would help us to focus on what's going on right here and right now. God, we do think about those things. Think about those who were lost, the lives who were lost in this shooting in Texas. Father, we know that you tell us that you are near to the brokenhearted. And so, God, I pray for those individuals. God, I pray for our country. You know what's going on in the world around us. I pray that you would work in ways that only you can. God, I pray for us this morning, right here and right now, that we would encounter your presence and that we would leave this place today knowing that we have met with you. God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for everything you do for us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, safe from all harm in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring brightness of light, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, safe from all should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, safe from all harm in his sheltering arm, so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, safe from all harm in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show sing with me how great is our God. Nor will see how great is our God.
We come to you this morning, Lord, praising you for who you are. You indeed are great and you are worthy to be praised. And this morning we lift our hands in worship. We lift our hearts in worship, knowing, Lord, that there is no one else who can do what you can do. Knowing, Lord, that only you and you alone loved us enough to be willing to go to a cross and to die for us when we were still sinners, when we were without any kind of recognition that there was a God. But you loved us enough that you were willing to go and to die for us so that we could know you in forgiveness. We could know you, Lord, in ways that we never dreamed about. We could know you in the fullness of your Spirit. And we're so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that we have as a congregation this morning to come together, to worship you, to praise you, to allow you to speak to us. For indeed, Lord, we are here to hear from you. We're here to hear from your Word. We're here to allow your Holy Spirit to speak into the deep recesses of our hearts and our minds today, and allow you, through the power of your Spirit, to change us where we need to be changed, to convict us where we need to be convicted, to encourage us, Lord, in those areas of our lives that we need encouragement. Lord, you are here to do exactly what we need today. And so, Lord, we come to you, believing you, trusting you, that you are going to work in mighty ways in our hearts and our lives today. We're grateful, Lord, for the things that you've done in times past. But Lord, all those things, as good as they were, they're not sufficient for this day. We need a new touch. We need a new anointing. And so we're asking you for that today. May you bless in every part of this service. Lord, as we're about to look into your Word together, may your Holy Spirit give unction and power. And may the words that are said not just be the words that I might want to say, but may they be the very words that speak to someone's heart. And then, Father, in just a few moments, we're going to gather around your table as your disciples. And I pray, Father, that that might be a very special time. May the grace of God touch hearts and lives as we gather around your table this morning. We're grateful for your people. We're grateful for their faithfulness in giving. And today, as we've watched as many have gone by the offering receptacles today, I thank you, God, that you are blessing and that you are helping. And so we trust you today that you're going to continue to meet the church's needs and in turn help our church, Lord, that we might reach out to a lost and dying world around us in order to meet their needs. We rejoice in all the things that you have done. We thank you for this time that we've had together to worship. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd bless us as we look into your Word together. And for the good things that you're going to do, we give you praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today is Memorial Day weekend. And I do think that it is only proper, I do think that it is only fitting that we as a people be very, very mindful of the sacrifices that have been made, the lives that have been given, in order that we might meet in this place this morning without fear or without reservation. And tomorrow, as you celebrate Memorial Day, it is important that we do have times of celebration, but it is also time of commemoration. And so I urge you tomorrow, as you gather with your family, your friends, whatever you do, that you do take time to remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice so that we might be free. And all God's people said, amen. 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 I want to speak to you this morning from Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 12 down through verse 14 in just a moment. But we, over the past few weeks, have been looking at what happened in between the resurrection and the ascension, and then on into Pentecost. But this morning, we're looking at Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. This is what the word of the Lord says. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot,
and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I don't know about you, but I will tell you something that you probably already know about me. I do not like to wait. I don't enjoy it at all. In fact, well, this is a good way to start the sermon off, isn't it? I don't like to wait. I don't like, and there you were having to wait on me. And that was not planned, incidentally. I can't stand to sit in a doctor's waiting room. And then they get your hopes up in those situations because they take you from the waiting room back into the other room. And you think when you go back into the examination room, oh boy, he is about to be here. Susie will tell you that I send her all kinds of texts while I am in that exam room waiting. You know, why didn't they do something? What's going on? The only thing I think that's worse than waiting on a doctor is waiting for your car to be repaired. That absolutely drives. Oh, yeah, we can get you right in. We can get you right in. We can get you right out. That's what I heard the other day. An hour later, I was still sitting there waiting, you know, and I was supposed to be in and right out. I think all during the pandemic, we went through all of this wait. And I remember our first Sunday when we came back together. I'm telling you, you were like kids with new toys. You were greeting everybody from a distance, but you were sure glad to see them, you know. This thing of waiting. I just don't like it. But can I tell you something that I have found out across many years of being a Christian? That there are times in our lives that God puts us in his waiting room. That is part of our experience as a Christian. And sometimes his waiting room can be one of the more difficult aspects of our Christian life. Sometimes it's part of what we do as a growth process. I said just a few moments ago, and let me go back to it. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at this in-between time, the time between the resurrection and the day of Pentecost. And next Sunday morning, as we come together, we're going to celebrate the day of Pentecost. Last week, we talked about the ascension when Jesus left to go back to heaven. And at that point in time, he told his followers to go to Jerusalem and wait. To go to Jerusalem and wait. I mean, you begin to think about it. That's what you find them doing in the passage of Scripture that I just read to you. That's what they were doing as they were doing exactly what Jesus had told them to. To a certain extent, as we are moving through these Sundays, we are waiting in order to get to even next Sunday when we celebrate the day of Pentecost. Well, let me give you some background for some of you that might not have been here last week. Remember, we find that in the first few verses of the book of Acts, we find this conversation that Jesus and his disciples are having at dinner. And he's told them that he wants them to go and to wait for the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 6, you find another occasion that they're gathering. And it's interesting to me that the thing that is on the disciples' mind at that point in time is, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Sounds a whole lot like us, doesn't it? Are you going to do this? And are you going to do it now? And Jesus tells his disciples that that's not really for them to know. It's kind of interesting, though, when you begin to look at this, even after all that they have experienced. Now, remember, they've been with Jesus all these years. They have just experienced his crucifixion. They have just experienced his burial. They have just experienced his resurrection. You would think that somehow in all of that, something would have changed in their heart and life, because you remember that just a few days before, they were arguing about who was going to be greatest. But here you find them, Acts chapter 1, verse 6, are you going to restore the kingdom? Isn't it amazing how we can go through all kinds of things and we think everything has changed, but nothing really has changed because our hearts are still the same? Reminds me of 9/11. I know that was not something you wanted to hear this morning, but everything changed for a few days, and then all of a sudden now everything is back to normal again. You find these disciples, they're trying to figure out what's going on, and they're wanting to know, is Jesus now going to restore the kingdom? And Jesus says, that's not for you to worry about, because I have a mission for you. And then you find that Jesus tells them that after you have received the Holy Spirit, which he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for, but when you receive the Holy Spirit, when he comes on you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. And after that, he was taken up into heaven. You come to verse 12, and there you find that they're about a half a mile to three quarters of a mile from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem, and they go back to the place where evidently they had been gathering and what had become probably their headquarters for the church at that point in time. And while they were there, we're not going to talk about it between now and next Sunday, but while they were there, they chose Matthias to be the next apostle. Which is based on the fact that he's never mentioned again after this part, says that they got ahead of God. It's my opinion. You don't have to believe that if you want to be wrong. Boy, y'all are not with me this morning, are you? Now, maybe I need to take another drink of water. I don't know. But you find that it was in this place that they were gathered. And it was in this place, and we'll talk about this next Sunday, it was in this place that the church was born. But this morning, I want us to consider what I think is one of the key verses that basically joins verse 12 and the rest of the chapter together. I think you find something there in verse 14 that is so important, because there in verse 14 it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Verse 4 says that they were to wait. Verse 12 through 14 says that they were waiting. And so you may be sitting there this morning and you may say, William, what does this mean for us to do? Why does God sometimes tell us that we need to wait? Well, I'm going to give you three reasons. And I'm going to promise you at the end of the sermon, you're going to have another question for me, okay? Don't you like that I'm telling you that up front? The first thing that I want you to see is that we need to wait in order for God to teach them and us to trust and obey. It says there that once while he was eating with them, he commanded them. One translation makes it a little more stern, because one translation says there that he ordered them. Wow. You know, they could have run out from all that they were doing, and they could have started their mission. They could have gone out and tried to do everything that Jesus was telling them to do. And I really believe had they gone out and tried to do everything on their own, that they would not have lived long. I really believe that had they gone out on their own power, in their own strength, to try to accomplish the mission of Jesus, they would not have been able to do it, because they were not prepared. They had not yet come to a point and place and time in their life where they really were willing to trust and obey. Let me tell you something, folks, whether you realize it or not, if you don't realize it, this is a good morning to learn it. The Christian life is a life of obedience. If Jesus says that we don't depart and that we wait, guess what? We don't depart and we wait. We do what he has commanded us to do. I've told you before about Mel Brookshire there in Cushing, Oklahoma, that when I walked into Mel's classroom the first time, in the front of the class it said willful obedience. Across the years, I watched the first time I went in, it just said obedience. And then I watched as it changed to willful obedience. And just before I left the Cushing church, all across the front of his room on a banner that he had printed on a dot matrix printer, willful, loving obedience. For you see, really, folks, the Christian life is a matter of trusting. It is a matter of being obedient. Years ago, I got a copy of John Maxwell's book, Think on These Things. And one of the chapters in that book was entitled, Don't Just Do Something, Stand There. That's completely opposite what most of us have in mind. Most of us have this idea that we say, well, we don't need just to stand here. We need to do something. I understand that. I'd rather be doing as sitting. I would rather be going as waiting. But Jesus told them, go back to Jerusalem. Go back there and wait. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31 in the King James Version reads like this. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fail. But those that, what? Wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then the little song that we learned as kids said, Lord, teach us to wait. We live in a culture that says, go for it. We live in a culture that says that we can trust ourselves. We live in a culture that tells us that we are in control of our own destiny. And Jesus is telling these disciples, he's telling you and me, if we've not come to this point in place and time in our life, he's telling us today that we need to wait for the promise of the Father. We need to wait and allow the Holy Spirit to do something in us. Someone has said that busyness in the king's business is no excuse for neglecting the king. And let me tell you, there are times in our Christian life that unless we learn to trust and obey and wait, we will be busy in the business of the king, not accomplishing what he has called us to do. The early disciples, they were told to wait so that they could learn to trust and obey. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you going through one of those waiting times in your life? Are you in this position where you really know that there's something that you really want to be doing, that you need to be doing, but it just doesn't seem to be coming to pass? Let me tell you something. In that point and place and time, God is moving. Don't give up on Him. They were to wait because they had to learn to trust and obey. They were to wait in order to transform them into who He wanted them to be. They were to wait in order to transform them into who He wanted them to be. We are to wait from time to time in order that we might be transformed into who He wants us to be. They were waiting there because Jesus had told them that He was going to send the Holy Spirit after that He left. They were to wait there until the Holy Spirit came upon them, which He did on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And I've already said it twice this morning, but that's what we're going to look at next Sunday morning. But when the Holy Spirit really came upon them, you see a radical difference happening in their lives. They are changed. They are transformed. They go through a metamorphosis, so to speak. And they became the vessels that God could use at that point in time. Let me tell you something, folks. God has promised to give us the Holy Spirit. And He wants to wants this waiting time that we may be in order to transform us and in order to help us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 tells us that He has given us everything that we need in order to live a godly life. He is willing to impart His divine nature to us, Peter said. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that we can become new creations, that the old things will pass away and all things will become new. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, talks about that we can receive a supernatural power. That same power that can transform us is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Paul said in the book of Philippians, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. You see, we are transformed as He lives in us. We are transformed as we give Him the power and the control over our lives. We are changed so that we can be able to proclaim the good news of the gospel, that Jesus is at work, not only in our lives, but He can be at the work. He can be at work in the lives of hearts and of the people who are all around us. You see, these disciples, when you begin to look at them, they were afraid. Peter denied Christ. That has always fascinated me. It wasn't some big burly guy that was accusing Peter at that point in time. It was a servant girl. I mean, I could have understood it if it had been a big burly guy. A big soldier with a sword or a spear or something like that. I mean, I could have understood it, but this is a little girl. I grew up with two sisters. I'm not afraid of girls. Well, one. Isn't it amazing? I mean, Peter was afraid. As I said a few moments ago, they were jockeying for position. They were desiring for position. I mean, James and John, they weren't brave enough to do it on their own, so they had their mom come and say, "Can one of them sit at your right hand and one of them sit at your left hand, sissies?" As they're walking along the road, it wasn't just James and John. As they're walking along the road, they're all fussing back and forth. And Jesus knows what's going on. And Jesus asks them the question, "What are you fussing about?" "Oh, nothing." It's in that same time frame that Jesus says, if any of you are going to be great in the kingdom of heaven, then you're going to have to become like a little child. You're going to have to become like a servant. I'm going to tell you, if I had been Jesus and I was going to try to establish something like the church, can I tell you what I would have done? I would have found people who knew what they were doing and had their lives together. Jesus chose people who didn't have any idea what they were doing, who didn't have their lives together, but needed to be transformed and were willing to be transformed. We get afraid sometimes, don't we? Sometimes we get a little jealous of what somebody else did or got. Sometimes we find ourselves bickering back and forth with each other. Sometimes we are less than unified. And a whole lot of the time we are in no spiritual condition to accomplish the task that has been laid out before us. That's why we need to be transformed. You see, they needed to wait because they needed to learn to trust and to obey. They needed to wait because they needed to be transformed. They needed to wait finally because they needed to be taken to a deeper place in their spiritual lives. Jesus told them that there were going to be some big changes that were going to happen when the Holy Spirit came on them. It's interesting when you begin to look at all that Jesus said would happen. Because if you go back to John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says something that is odd. Jesus says something that we don't see happening. But Jesus tells these disciples there in John chapter 14, verse 12, that they would do greater things than He would do when He went to the Father. Did you hear what I said? Did it sink in? Jesus told these disciples that they would do greater things than He had done when He went back to the Father. The Holy Spirit would be in them. The Holy Spirit would be working through them. They would begin to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. The church would be born. The message of salvation then would have a worldwide effect. Jesus confined His ministry right there in that area, but they were going to be sent to the ends of the earth. And you and I this morning are part of that ends of the earth. We are some of the byproduct of what these men and women did when they were willing to be transformed. You see, I really mean this kindly, but as I was putting this together, I thought about this, and so before you think I'm aiming it at you, please understand I had to deal with it on my own, okay? But I really sat there, and as I was typing this, I thought out that shallow people produce shallow results. And Jesus wanted to take them deeper. Jesus wanted to take them deeper. And people who are going to go deeper with Christ can find great things happening in their own life. You see, the Christian life is a relationship. It was only after I really got to know Susie that I proposed to her. And some of you know the story. We dated for about a year, and finally I got up the courage to propose to her, and I said to her, 2 weeks. I want you to pray about it for 2 weeks before you give me an answer. Those were a long 2 weeks, folks, I'm going to tell you. Especially for somebody as impatient as I am. You know. But I didn't propose that first week. I mean, the first time I met her, she was with Ginger McCarver from Dunlap, Tennessee. That's where Ginger was from. And I have found out that all these years, when I pronounced it around Jesse, I have found out that I was pronouncing it wrong all these years. We always said the Sequatchie. And I found out from Jesse it's the Squatchie. Isn't that right? She came over to meet me. Ginger was there. Ginger was one of her roommates in college. And there I was. And I thought she was a pretty young lady then. But I didn't propose to her immediately because a relationship had to develop. I can tell you what had happened if I had proposed to her immediately. She'd said, I don't think so. Let me tell you what she did to me, okay? We were at that point in time, I was going to major in music. And Susie was going to major in music. And so the B's come before the M's. Her last name was Mathis. And so the B's registered before the M's. And so I go and register for all my classes and come back to the student center with my books. And she told me this later. She saw me come in with all those music books and said to herself, if he can do it, I know I can. And those of you who have heard her speak think that she probably ought to be the one here, you know. But it was only after that relationship developed. It was only after we talked and we got to know each other and I really came to love that young lady that I was willing to say to her, I really want you to spend the rest of your life with me. But I want you to pray about it 2 weeks. You see, that's how this Christian life works. We begin it and then we begin to go deeper. And then we begin to know God in a more deep, in a more clear way. We understand His Word. We understand what's going on. And that's how this thing goes. And the disciples, even though they had been with Jesus all those years, they needed something deeper. They needed the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That's where all of us are this morning. We need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the good news that I have for all of us today is He is willing to give it to us. Conclusion. Well, you are sitting there and you are thinking, William, all that is great and marvelous. I mean, all those things, William, if I had been putting this sermon together, I would have said, William, that those are all the results. But what brought all this about? Well, you are very insightful people, and I'm very glad that you asked me that question because I do have an answer for you. Do you remember what I said in the introduction? Do you remember the verse that I quoted to you in the introduction? It's verse 14. It's the key verse in all this, that they all join together constantly in prayer. Now, I understand that it says along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and His brothers. I understand that that's kind of at the end of that. But it is that first part of verse 14 that if you don't get anything else this morning, you better grasp hold of that. Because it was as they all joined together constantly in prayer that then these things could happen. It was only as they got rid of the bickering, because they had been bickering, It was only as they worked through all the issues that had been going on and they came to the realization of who they were and who Jesus was. And it was in that time of prayer. It was in that time of communication with the Father. It was in that time of developing that relationship that all those things could happen. John Wesley said that prayer is certainly the grand means of drawing near to God. It is the grand means of drawing near to God. Too many times we see prayer as an exercise that maybe we do before we eat a meal, or maybe we say a short prayer before we go to bed, or maybe when we get up in the morning we say a short prayer to get our day going. But we really haven't developed this idea that prayer is something that I need to be in constant contact with God. Prayer helps to transform us. Prayer is the basis of our trust. Prayer enables us to obey. Prayer reveals disunity. Prayer reveals bitterness. Prayer reveals brokenness. Prayer is communication. It is breathing out and breathing in. Prayer brings us into that deeper, more fulfilled relationship with God. Folks, let me tell you. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. And somehow or another, we've made prayer so difficult. Somehow or another, we've made prayer so difficult. We've made it something that only those people who are saints in the church can do. No. Prayer is something that you can just simply go to God and say, "Here I am. I need more of you today than I had yesterday. And if I don't have more of you today than I had yesterday, I'm not going to make it, Lord." Prayer sometimes is simply breathing out an "Oh God." And I don't mean that in a disrespectful or irreverent way, but sometimes that's the only thing that we can't say because those are the only words that seem to fit right then and there. But I'm glad that the Bible tells us that when we don't know how to pray, that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us in words that cannot even be uttered. Jesus tells us this then is how you should pray. That doesn't mean that we have to pray that every time. But it gives us a pattern. A pattern of coming to the Father, glorifying Him for who He is and what He has done, thanking Him for His provision in our lives, and then saying, "Lord, here is what I need." Susie and I didn't start out talking about the things that we talk about nowadays. We started off kind of slow. It's kind of like the kids learning to talk. Kids just don't start talking immediately. They begin to learn words. They begin to learn phrases. They begin to put all that together. And you may be new in your Christian life. You may be new in your prayer life. Did you hear how I said that? Start with the simple words. Start with the "I love yous." Start with the "Oh God, I need you. Oh God, I believe you. Oh God, do something in me." You see, verse 14 is the key. That they all were constantly in prayer. Waiting's not easy. Never has been. But it's often exactly what God wants us to do, so that we can get to know Him in a better way. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together this morning to look into Your Word. Thank You that You want to transform us. Thank You that You want to teach us to trust You and obey. Thank You, God, that You want to bring us into a deeper relationship with You. And all of those things come about as we pray. As we pray, Lord, some of these may be new Christians. They can't seem to put the words together. Don't let the devil defeat them and convince them that they're not doing it. Some may be new to this thing of prayer, and it really seems foreign, and sometimes they feel like their prayers don't get beyond the ceiling. Don't let the devil convince them that that's as far as they went, because the moment that they left our mouth, they were in the very ear of God. And when we don't know how to pray, thank you that you, through the power of your Spirit, know exactly what we need. I'm thankful, Lord, that in the waiting times of our lives, that we can come to trust you, we can learn to obey you, we can be transformed, and we can grow deeper in you. Help us, O God, not to miss out on the wait. Help us to pray. And we thank you and we praise you for what we're going to learn as we do wait. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, as a part of our service, we're going to have a time of communion, a time in which we gather around the Lord's table. Pastor Tyler's going to come and he's going to help me, and we're going to pass out the elements. Pastor Tyler will give you, as we did the last time, Pastor Tyler will give you some of the bread, and then we'll allow you to take the cup from the other tray as you come by this morning. And we're going to ask you to come in sections so that we can all move. And please, as you come down, if you will, come down this aisle, and we'll go up this aisle and then go back to your seat and hold the elements until we've all been served, and that way we can partake of the Lord's Supper together. The communion supper instituted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a sacrament. It proclaims His life, His sufferings, and His sacrificial death. It proclaims His resurrection. It is a declaration of our hope of His coming again. It shows forth the Lord's death until He is returned. The supper is a means of grace in which Jesus is presented by the present by the Holy Spirit. It is to be received in reverent appreciation and gratefulness for the work of Christ. All of those who are truly repentant, forsaking their sins and believing in Christ for salvation, are invited to participate in the death and resurrection of Christ. We come to the table that we might be renewed in life and salvation and be made one by the Spirit of Christ. In unity with our church, we confess our faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. On the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to His disciples and said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, when the supper was over, He took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And so we gather as the body of Christ to offer ourselves to God in praise and thanksgiving. As we come to this place, let us ask that God pour out His Holy Spirit on us. Let us ask that we receive these emblems of His body and His blood, that we may be united as the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood, called to take His message to our world. We in the Church of the Nazarene do not practice close communion, and by that I mean you do not have to be a member of this church to partake of communion. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, we want you to come and to join us at His table this morning. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Pastor Tyler, you come. Congregation, would you stand? And we're going to ask that this section come first, then this section, then this section. Just please go around and receive the elements. Hold them until we have all received them. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you, preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you. And be thankful. the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. We give you glory this morning, Lord, for all that you have done for us. We give you glory that you were willing to come and to die for us. While we were still sinners, your word tells us, you died for us. And so this morning, we thank you that we have been allowed to come together as your people to participate in this holy sacrament. Thank you for your body that was broken. Thank you for your blood that was shed. May we do this in remembrance that you have died for us, that you have been raised to life anew, that you are now seated at the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for us. But Lord, one day you will come again. And we do proclaim that this morning, that we believe it with all of our hearts. And with the Apostle John, we say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Bless this congregation. Bless us as we go from this place. Thank you for those who have died in order that we might enjoy our freedoms today. We love you and we thank you and we praise you. We give you glory. And all God's people said, amen. May God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your holiday weekend and hope that the Lord blesses you. Enjoy the day with your family and friends. We will not be here this evening, so be sure and remember that. God bless you. I hope you have a great rest of your week.